Let's continue reading verses 1 through 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, in this first half of chapter 4, we have Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonian believers to practice godliness, especially in the area of sexual purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. You know, just this past week, Margie and I began putting together our itinerary for next year's Holy Land trip. And we're going to have an option at the end of the tour for going to Greece. Now, if you sign up for this option, you will not only visit Athens and Corinth, but also Philippi and Thessalonica, all the places that are referred to here in Thessalonians. Do I have any takers? Seriously speaking, when I come back in July, I hope to have the brochures put together. In chapter 3, remember, we saw that when Timothy joined the Apostle Paul in Corinth, he brought good news. Look there again at verse 6 of chapter 3. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love. Remember, Timothy had been sent back to Thessalonica to see how the young church was doing. Paul was afraid that some of these new Christians would fall away. Remember, it was a very young church. Paul had not been there that long. Paul was afraid that some of these new Christians would fall away and turn back to the world, especially in view of the persecution. But praise the Lord, they were standing firm, even though they were suffering tribulation and affliction. What good news? You know, it's always good news when you hear that believers that you discipled in the past are still going on with the Lord and maturing in the faith. How many have had that experience? You find out that people that you worked with in the past are going on strong? That's great news. Illustration. I had been leading a young life club when the Lord opened the doors for me to go to seminary. I was worried about some of my young life kids that were new Christians. Would they stand firm in the faith? Well, what good news it was to write back and find out that they were standing firm in their faith and growing in the Lord. Fantastic, wonderful, good news. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul continues to follow up and teach and exhort the young church at Thessalonica to grow in their faith and practice godliness. Let's read verse 1 again. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Well, a lot more we could give for the background, but I think we need to move on now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number 1, sanctified believers practice sexual purity. Sanctified believers practice sexual purity. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. What does it mean to be sanctified? Sanctification comes from the same Greek word as holy. To be sanctified means to be set apart for holy use by God himself. Now let me ask you this morning, are you a sanctified believer? What about in the area of sexual purity? Sanctified believers practice sexual purity. In verses 4 and 5, we read that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Now, what does the word vessel mean here in verse 4? Does it refer to one's own body, as in some translations, or does it refer to a man's wife? It's not that easy to determine what the word vessel means here from the context. The Greek word that's used for vessel here is used for both body and wife elsewhere in the New Testament. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them," that is, your wives, "with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we read, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So you see, the word vessel that's used here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is used elsewhere in the New Testament for both body and wife. So we can't be too dogmatic here as to whether Paul has in mind a man's wife or a man's body. But the overall teaching is clear. Sanctified believers practice sexual purity. Verses 6 through 8 indicate that when we do not practice sexual purity, we reject God and despise the Holy Spirit. Look there at verse 8. "Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Note, the Holy Spirit. "And furthermore, we bring upon ourselves the judgment of God," verse 6, "that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified." To defraud or wrong your brother in this matter includes not just the final act of adultery, but all the steps that lead up to it, even if the final act of adultery is not committed. I trust that there is no brother here this morning that is stealing the affections of another man's wife. You may think you're getting away with it now, but you will experience the judgment of God, and maybe sooner than you think. God has not called us to uncleanness or impurity, but in holiness. Verse 7. The Thessalonian believers were surrounded by sexual impurity in that first century culture in which they lived. Temptations abounded. Sound familiar? And so are we surrounded by sexual impurity. Or haven't you noticed? We must practice sexual purity in our actions, in our attitudes, in our thought lives. It's not automatic. Sanctified believers practice sexual purity. Doctrinal point number 2. Sanctified believers practice brotherly love. Sanctified believers practice brotherly love. Verses 9 and 10. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Notice, the Thessalonian believers were practicing brotherly love. Verse 10. "And indeed you do so toward all the brethren." And you remember we had that back in chapter 3, verse 6. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love." So they were practicing brotherly love. But Paul here exhorts them to more brotherly love. The end of verse 10. "But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Why more brotherly love? Because you never can have enough brotherly love, right? The more brotherly love, the more unity. And the more unity, the more blessing. Let me ask you, do you want blessing here at this church? Then promote unity. How do you promote unity? You practice brotherly love. Brotherly love is not automatic. You must practice brotherly love. Sanctified believers practice brotherly love. And doctrinal point number 3, Sanctified believers practice lifestyle discipline. Sanctified believers practice lifestyle discipline. Verses 11 and 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. In these two verses, we have three guidelines for practicing lifestyle discipline in this world. Guideline number one, don't seek the limelight. Don't seek the limelight. Be content to lead a quiet life. Sanctified believers don't lose sleep trying to get ahead in this world. Hardly can you call yourself a sanctified believer if you're trying to gain popularity or prestige or power in this world of all things. 1 John 2:17 says, this world is passing away. How ridiculous, how foolish, how unfaithful, how unbelieving if we seek to advance ourselves in this world. So guideline number one, don't seek the limelight. Guideline number two, mind your own business. Mind your own business. Stop gossiping. Stop judging the motives of others. Stop butting into other people's lives. Verse 11, to mind your own business. And guideline number three, be self-supporting. Be self-supporting. Work with your own hands. Now that phrase, work with your own hands, does not mean that Christians can't have desk jobs. You got to be involved in manual labor. No, that's not the idea. That would be, as we say at Emmaus, bad hermeneutics. It means to be self-supporting. Christians should not be moochers or freeloaders or gold brickers. You know any Christian parasites? Show them this verse. If we had more time, I could give you a couple examples here, but we don't. But I think you all followed the doctrinal point here, right? Sanctified believers practice lifestyle discipline. And finally, practical application for this first section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Remember, there's always room for improvement. Remember, there's always room for improvement. You know, just a few weeks ago, I got a letter from a Christian woman who said that she had arrived and had already become perfect and didn't have to worry about sin in her life anymore because she was fully sanctified. Well, I guess she hadn't read this chapter in the Bible. I guess she hadn't read this chapter in the Word of God or many other passages of Scripture. This woman was confusing positional truth with everyday living as a Christian. Yes, in God's court, we were declared righteous and sanctified, fully sanctified, the moment we trusted Christ. That's our position. But until we get our sinless, resurrected bodies, fit for heaven, sin is still a problem in our everyday lives. How many would agree? Okay. What? I didn't see 100% hands up there? Well. Sin is still a problem in our everyday lives, and we must practice sexual purity, and we must practice brotherly love, and we must practice lifestyle discipline. Status quo in sanctification is stagnation. Remember, there's always room for improvement.